You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Even as vaccinations for COVID-19 are happening, Idaho is still being hit hard by the pandemic. Since March, our state stands at 123,517 confirmed cases of the virus. The death toll for our state, 1,544 as of today. So that means there are more than 1,500 families who are not just dealing with this pandemic, they are now coping with the loss of a loved one. So to honor those who have died, a statewide memorial will be taking place Thursday in order to remember them. Joining us today to talk more about this are Nathaniel Hoffman and Mike Satz, two of the event organizers, and retired pastor of Boise's Vineyard Church, Tri Robinson. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Good to be here, Samantha.
So Nathaniel and Mike, I want to start with the two of you. Can you tell us about how this this idea came about originally to really, you know, honor the memory of those who have died from this?
Yeah. So we started a project, just very grassroots project, about a month ago when we saw all the opposition to the Central District Health. Public health discussions. And mm-hmm. we wanted the voices of, you know, the vast majority of Idahoans who are trying to get through the pandemic and doing their best and doing the best with their kids to protect their communities. We wanted those voices also to be heard in a safe way. And so, you know, we started with some organizing around those meetings, delivering signs to the health district to support rational and sound public health decisions. And we decided this month that we really, the conversation about coronavirus has really gotten off the rails in this state. And so we need to remember what this is really about, and it's about health and safety of our communities and our neighbors. And so I think remembering the, you know, it's a very large number that you just said, over 1,500 people, remembering that those people is something I haven't mm-hmm. seen the state take on yet, and is something that we are planning for Thursday night, just to let everybody have a chance to reflect on what this pandemic has meant for the vast majority of folks in the state.
And Mike, let's talk a little bit more about your organization. If for those who don't know, it's called the 97%. And as Nathaniel said, I mean, this truly was a grassroots effort where it seems to me that people were fed up with the minority coming out and protesting and having the loudest voice.
Yes, you know, it's very obvious that most Idahoans want to be safe. Most Idahoans want to take care of each other. That's part of the values of the state, and it's the values of our communities. But right now, what we're seeing is our politicians, our policymakers, our leaders are hamstrung by sort of these very extremist people who are showing up, demonstrating with guns. That's not an implicit threat. That's a direct threat. And we even saw what happens in our Capitol last week from this kind of behavior. And so we want to represent the majority of Idahoans who want to see sane policies around COVID-19. Right now, as Nathaniel said, we have 1,500 people, more than 1,500 people who've passed away. All of us, I think, most of us know people who have been very ill mm-hmm. or who have passed away, or who know people who have passed away, or have relatives who have passed away. And we want to give voice to them. And so our concept here and our idea here is, this is what the majority of Idahoans want. This has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with liberal or conservative. This has to do with protecting our community and bringing our community together and providing support for our policymakers and our leaders who want to make sound policy. And so that's kind of what brought us together and why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. And Troy, you are a retired pastor, and you will be speaking at the memorial. What moved you to decide to raise up your voice in something that has become very contentious within our state when it comes to how people view this virus.
Yeah, I agree, Samantha. First I was honored to be asked, and I see this year. My wife has called it the great sorrow, and I personally, as a Christian, as a leader in this community, I've just felt this deep sense of sorrow for just the condition, not just of these families and their incredible losses, but for the condition of our country, for the condition of the church. I just think there's so much to be sorry about, and I know that a lot of people are outraged and they're angry, but from my perspective as a pastor, a Christian leader, I just see this as an opportunity for really the heart of the church to rise up and be the church, mm-hmm. and to address this sorrow from a Christ-like perspective, not a political one, not out of anger or fear or rage, but really trying to capture the heart of God in the midst of all of this.
And Nathaniel, when we think about the 1,544 people who have died so far, and we all know that number will go up, there seems that we've heard from some people who have spoken publicly about losing a loved one, but not a lot of people. And what have you found when folks who have lost a loved one are finding out about this memorial? Are they wanting to speak? Are they fearful to speak? Because there can also be a lot of shame around someone getting the virus.
Yeah, I think we've allowed the politics to seep into this to a degree where people are embarrassed that they're sick or that they have relatives that are sick. People are embarrassed to wear their masks in public, even in our legislature, in the halls of government, out on the street. That's not how it should be. And the rhetoric around coronavirus needs to rapidly, I feel like we're at the end of this, Gemma. Like, we're getting the, mm-hmm. the vaccines rolling out. There should be relief now, and everybody should have understood the couple of things that we have to do to keep ourselves and our families and our communities safe. People are hesitant to talk about it. Faith leaders, I've talked to probably a dozen faith leaders, getting people to participate in this meeting on Thursday. And I would say there's broad support among all the different religious figures I've talked to, but several of them were not able to participate publicly because of resistance within their congregations. And the same for people who have literally lost loved ones during the pandemic. They don't want to be public about it because of the backlash. And the backlash is real. This is the launch of the Idaho 97 project came after people actually shut down a public meeting over a very mild public health measures, and then went to public officials' houses and tried to shut down the debate. And so mm-hmm. they're not wrong to be intimidated or scared. But if a large number of Idahoans, show up and show that we have some compassion still, I think we can still turn the tide here. I think it's mm-hmm. I think it's still possible. That's one of our demands, actually, is that the state do more to protect us, even at this late stage in the virus.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I believe that the tipping point of people, raising their voices and this grassroots effort coming, the 97%, I mean, Mike, really came from the video of former Ada County Commissioner Diana Lachiando in tears, because there were people at her home and her children were by themselves. And there was something that it didn't matter. It seemed to not matter what your political affiliation was. It didn't seem to matter what you do for a living. It was all of a sudden, there was a line that was crossed when you bring children into the mix. It doesn't matter what your parents do for a living. Children are off limits. And was there something in that moment, do you believe, and unfortunately, that it had to take that for people to finally say, you know what, enough?
Yes, you know, that was a very, very powerful video. I mean, it made national news. It was poignant. The emotion was raw. It was real. And any of us who have children understand the emotion that was there. What we're seeing is we're really seeing we have this lethal threat in our community from this virus, but we have members of our community who are completely ignoring our social norms and our morality and the rules that we all live by. And we've just left, it's like we've left our civility out in a way. And instead of engaging our elected officials in acceptable and civil manners, what they're doing instead is bullying people and pushing people around. And they don't really care about the consequences. I mean, it should be obvious to anyone that when you go into a neighborhood, a residential neighborhood, no matter who lives there, there's going to be children there, right? There are going to be families there. And it's really unacceptable that people are going out and about and bullying and pushing people around and slamming on doors and banging on doors and yelling on bullhorns in the presence of these children. You know, we have differences of opinion. We don't agree on everything. We never will. We never will, right? That's the nature of politics. Mm-hmm. But in a civil society, we engage in a civil manner, right? We engage one another civilly. We engage one another with respect. And to see just how far we've gone and how far we've debased our processes by looking at the reaction of really a mother in fear of the safety of her children, I think that really hit home with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's one of those things where I have said right on this program that part of what makes America America is the ability for dissent. It is the ability to protest. You don't do that at someone's home. It is as simple as that. Before I let you go, I would like to know, how can people be involved with the memorial, when and where, and especially from a safety standpoint?
Yeah, it's going to be all online Thursday evening, 6 p.m. You can find it at the Idaho 97 Project on Facebook or the Idaho97.org. And we're also on Twitter and Instagram. And it will be live streamed. People will be able to share their own comments and experiences in the comments on the Facebook Live. And we hope to see people from all over the state there.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming in and talking with us today and for also honoring the victims of COVID who have lost their lives, but also the families who are continuing to have to not just deal with this pandemic, but to have to move through the grief of losing a loved one. So thank you all. Again, that memorial is this Thursday evening. It will be online. We'll put the information on our website. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you so much, Gemma.
Thank you.
Well, we've been talking with Nathaniel Hoffman and Mike Satz, two of the event organizers and retired pastor of Boise's Vineyard Church, Tri Robinson. More Idaho Matters next.